Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. So happy to have you back joining me again. We've had a great and powerful week, taking up so far just a few verses in Colossians chapter 3. Paul is instructing us. Paul gives such amazing instructional writings. And this is what I love about the scriptures is, like we've talked about so much on the show, scriptures are telling you who you are. Listen to what God is saying about who you are. Your life belongs to God. Your life is hidden with Christ and God. I don't know about you, I'm saying this to myself. Like, put your identity in Christ. He's saying, this is who you are. You're going to appear with him in glory. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, and that's where your life is found. It's amazing. It's glorious. It's powerful. And sometimes we need each and every day to go to these truths and say, this is who I am. And Paul's saying, from this reality, you got work to do. You know, not in a way of like saying you're doing it on your own or it's a burden that's too heavy, but we have work to do. We have to put to death through the power of the Holy Spirit the things that will bring down the wrath of God. And I want to encourage you to go yesterday and listen to our episode from yesterday if you didn't get a chance, because we dive into God's wrath. Because we'll see wrath come up again today. And it's wrath talking about our wrath. But we talk about the catechism's teaching and the church's teaching on God's wrath. And how God's wrath is judgment against sin. It's God's holiness meeting evil. It's God's holiness meeting sin. It's not a change in God's emotional state, because God is perfect and he can have perfect anger and perfect wrath while still loving us perfectly. And so I think it's really important that we hear about that, that we hear about God's wrath, which is coming, that we hear about God's wrath that came down to Jesus on the cross, the sin and the sin that was in him, not to Jesus, but the sin that he was carrying. He became sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. It's powerful, powerful stuff. So I encourage you, listen to earlier this week. The Lord is speaking to us, and let's pray and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit. Just wherever you are, just pray, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we love you. We invite you into our hearts. Jesus, stir up the gift of God that is within us, that is the Holy Spirit. Let us see you. Let us know you. Let us see ourselves in a deeper way. Let us be open to the promptings and convictions of the Spirit in a powerful way, so that we may become more like you. We may have access to what you've given us in Christ, and we may fall more deeply in love with you and honor you today and every day. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. I'm going to start in verse 7, and then we're going to go to verse 11. In these you once walked when you lived in them, but now put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and foul talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old nature with its practices and have put on the new nature, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there cannot be Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man, but Christ is all and in all. So we talked about the wrath of God is coming on account of these things. And in these things, you once lived. You once walked in them. We hear that in Ephesians 2. He's saying you once lived in these ways. Under the rule of the prince of darkness, you lived in these ways. In these ways, you once lived. But now put them all away. Get rid of them. And then he's going to talk about another set of things. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and foul talk from your mouth. And you might be like, okay, I don't have anger issues. Check, I'm good. Wrath, if I don't have anger issues, I definitely don't have wrath. Malice seems a little intense. Maybe I don't like some people, but whatever. Slander, okay, maybe I gossip, but I definitely don't slander. You know, foul talk, I don't swear. You know, I'm good to go. And this is where the Holy Spirit convicting our hearts. And so I want to go through these. First of all, put these away. Anger. And Paul's not talking about like an experience of being angry, because there's things, he's not talking about righteous anger, or sometimes things people do set us off. He's talking about responding in the emotion of anger in a way that is sinful. He's talking about hurting other people through our anger, having outbursts. And I think a good way to measure this is I am having sinful anger if I'm responding in a way that affects and hurts somebody else. If my response and anger hurts somebody else, disrespects them at all, then I have stepped over that line and been angry towards them in that way, in a way that is sinful anger. And then we have wrath. We just talked so much about God's wrath. And you're like, well, God has wrath, so why don't we have wrath? God has the ability to bring down wrath in perfection. And so it's his holiness responding to injustice, responding to evil. And so for us, wrath is oftentimes that emotional state. It's out of control anger. It's that human emotion where we shift into something that is fueled by hatred. Human wrath is fueled by hatred. Human wrath is fueled by darkness. It's not fueled by a hatred of sin. It's not fueled by a hatred of the things that are harming people. It's often fueled by the hatred of those people themselves. And so we actually, because our hearts are corrupt, we can't trust ourselves to have this wrath that's impure, this wrath that is not coming from a good place. So anger, wrath, malice. Malice is really interesting because I think we kind of just like think we know what it means. Like we read it and we're like, oh yeah, malice for sure. But here's an example of malice. I wanted to read the definition first, and then we're going to do some examples because I really want to get into this because the Holy Spirit was convicting me. Malice means a deliberate desire to harm someone, whether through actions, words, or intentions. The intention or desire to do evil, ill will towards another person, acting with spite, hatred, or a wish to hurt someone. And then I love this in a theological context. It's a settled internal attitude of hostility. Not just anger or frustration. It's the opposite of charity and goodwill, and it includes wishing harm, rejoicing in another's suffering, or planning to injure them in some way. So there's different levels of intensity within even that definition. But I think it's interesting because it can also be in our intentions. Like it ranges from like, okay, you're wishing for somebody to be like hurt, and you're like, okay, well, I'm not actually wishing for someone to break their leg, or I'm not wishing for someone to die. But have we ever had spite towards someone? Or ill will, a desire that things won't work out for them. And I like this definition because it helps us. Settled internal attitude of hostility. Is there anyone we just have like hostility to? The Lord is so convicting me of this today. I have this with some people in my life that I've had a really difficult relationship with. This internal attitude of hostility, of clamming up, and it opposes charity. And this is serious to the Lord. And this is where the Lord is really convicting me. And I want to give some examples because you might still be like, okay, malice. Yeah, this seems like, I don't really struggle with that. It seems like an old-timey word. So one, wishing harm on someone. And I think we think of wishing harm on someone as like physical harm or like, I hope they get sick. I hope they die. All this kind of stuff. It's like, that's so intense. It's like no one really like thinks that way. But some examples like of wishing harm on someone, like hoping a coworker fails so you look better by comparison, hoping someone doesn't kind of deliver maybe on the project they said they were going to or messes up so that it looks like you were right about them. People knowing that you were right about someone, maybe wishing someone who offended you would kind of get what they deserve or people would find them out or they would be treated in the same way. And it's like, well, you treated me that way. So, you know. Or another example, you know, maybe hoping that a friend's relationship falls apart because you're jealous, hoping that things don't go the right way for them, hoping that, you know, something kind of goes wrong for them, not out of a place of like, oh, they really need to get out of this relationship, but out of a place of jealousy. Whew. And even these three examples, it's like, do you see what we're getting at? Of like, there's something deeper there that's not just like, oh, I hope this person breaks their leg. It's like, am I actually wanting the best for this person? And another way we see this is rejoicing in someone's misfortune, you know, feeling pleasure when something small like happens to somebody else, when they lose their job, enjoying hearing bad news or Like, not even to the point of like, oh, like, you know, it's I don't enjoy hearing bad news about someone I dislike. I don't like that at all. I don't like hearing bad news about anybody. But when somebody comes, maybe, and somebody that you don't like has an experience, like someone you like has an experience with someone you don't like, and then that person's like, oh, I had this bad experience with them, and you're like, see, they are like that, and like wanting people to quote unquote be seen for who they truly are, like not really wanting them to grow, wanting things to be revealed about them, you know, like having this inner hostility. And it's like, I'm sure some of you women, for sure, you're hearing this and relating to it. But there's this way of like, it's a disposition of the heart. I think this is a really interesting example, like laughing when someone who irritated you experiences embarrassment. Like, we're adults, we might not do that out loud, like we're not bullying, but it's kind of like, oh, something, yeah, like that person like didn't get it right, like they hurt me. So like there's something in me that has like a twinge of like, I like that. Deliberately trying to hurt someone, using words to wound, something is designed to humiliate or correct or kind of like undercut. How often are we undercutting? And that goes to that other part where it talks about our speech, right? Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and foul talk. Slander and foul talk are caught up in malice. And slander is like talking about someone in a way that you desire somebody else's opinion to change about them. And I think, friends, I want to say this lightly, but slander can also be involved in what we're allowing ourselves to listen to. And so I think we need to be really discerning in the Holy Spirit about our sources, about the things that we're aligning ourselves on with our news, asking the Holy Spirit. There's so much commentary on the culture. There's people that it's their full-time job to comment on the culture, to be like, this is going on. And I think we need discernment about when there's commentary happening or news that's happening or judgments being made on someone publicly through the news or through maybe a podcaster that I listen to or people that I like that I don't totally know is true, that's speculation, and the person is being talked about negatively. If I'm jumping on that bandwagon and I'm like, oh yeah, I need to get on this, I need to know what happens, I need to figure this out, da da da, that's kind of a way that we're indulging in gossip. And kind of a way that we're indulging in slander. And it doesn't feel like it because we don't know those people. And because maybe we like, especially if it's about politicians, maybe we hate those politicians, you know, really strongly dislike those politicians and their policies. And people in, you know, or celebrities are like, oh, that person is so stupid. That person's this, that person's that, and picking them apart and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, at what point are we commenting on the culture for the sake of fruitfulness? And at what point are we kind of just like indulging that thing in us that wants to talk about other people? You know, if there's a lot of times these different shows or these different news things, they're indulging like in rumors and being like, oh, did you hear? Even like, you know, like this is definitely going to be a ladies reference, but even talking about like stuff in celebrity culture of people being like, oh, did you hear about like what Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce or all these different things? And we're so used to indulging in the culture that it's like, why? We don't need to be putting ourselves in those places about people that we don't know and say. So that was just a little side thing, but foul talk from our mouths. Yeah, maybe we don't swear, or maybe we do, and that's something that the Lord's convicting of. It's saying, is my speech a witness? Is my speech uplifting? And so, friends, God wants to invite us into a pure way of life where we're putting away anger, wrath, malice. And I hope that reflection on malice was helpful for you to examine your heart to say, do I have a place of hostility in my heart towards anybody? And Lord, even if they did something terrible to me, my hostility towards them is my own responsibility. And so, Lord, heal us, show us, so that we can become holy like you.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.